Hey, welcome to this week's podcast, recorded live at Planet Shakers Church, Melbourne, Australia. For more details, check out planetshakers.com.
I want to speak to you on the topic, outbreak. Because, you know, breakthrough is an outbreak. Three of you agree with that. When I get the theme for the year, I always get our researchers and, we have Pastor Scott Lim, who has a master's in theology, and then Dr. Clayton Coombs, who has a PhD in Old Testament or church history, and he actually reads the Bible in Greek and Hebrew, which is a very slow way to read the Bible, but that's how he does it. And I get both of them to put a research paper in on the topic of breakthrough and glory, and so that they help me build the meat of what we're going to share on. I get the prophetic word, and then teamwork comes in and we build the meat. And one of the words that describes breakthrough is outbreak. I'm not talking about an outbreak of pimples. I'm not talking about an outbreak of lice at school. I'm talking about an outbreak of the kingdom of God. In fact, Jesus, when he was teaching us to pray, he says, when you pray, say, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, let there be an outbreak of heaven on earth. So what is heaven like? Heaven, there is no fear, there is peace, there's joy, there's power, there's health, there's freedom, there's blessing, there's prosperity, there's favor, there's worship, there's praise, and God wants an outbreak of heaven to hit this earth. Because how many know this earth needs an outbreak of heaven? You know, I have cable television, so I turn on, and I'll see on Foxtel, I'll see CNN, and then I'll turn on to Fox News, and then I'll turn on to Sky News, and then I'll turn on to the British News, and then I'll turn on to Al Jazeera and watch that, and then I'll watch BBC News. And if I was a normal thinking person, I would be a very confused person by the time I've watched all those newscasts, because they report on the same thing so differently. You know, some think that Donald Trump's the Antichrist, some think he's the Messiah. I just think he's the President of America. That's all I think. Some think that Boris Johnson is Boris Johnson, you know, whoever he is. But anyway, he's the Prime Minister of England. And so each people have a different opinion, different view of things that are going on. And I look at it and I say, this world is confused. I see some people say that we're going to only got 8 years to go before the earth blows up or destroys. I see other people say, no, there's another 8,000 years. If I was just looking at it, a person had no context to anything, I'd be like, what's going on this planet? If I read the newspapers, we have issues here and issues there, and this is happening, that's happening. And then I see some good things that are happening. And so in the midst of all that, God wants heaven to invade earth. God wants an outbreak of his kingdom. What is an outbreak? An outbreak, thank you, Mr. iPad. An outbreak is this. It is a spreading of something rapidly. I'm believing that God's kingdom is going to spread rapidly in these next 5 years in the city of Melbourne, in the nation of Australia, in the nations of the world. I'm believing for a spreading rapidly of God's kingdom. You know, the world is longing for a kingdom outbreak. The Bible says that the world groans for the manifestations of the sons and daughters of God. And so there's a groaning in the earth. People needing clarity, people needing God to step in. They're confused. Is there a God? Is there not a God? What's happening in my life? What's going on? And people are just trying to get by. And we need an outbreak of the kingdom of God. This world longs for it. Sometimes they don't even realize what they're longing for. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is God's way of doing things. This world is longing for the kingdom to outbreak on this earth. But here's the thing, the problem that you face many times is the spirit of Antichrist, which the Bible talks about, tries to isolate and restrict the outbreak. See, what you do with an outbreak, whether it's a negative outbreak, like, let's say lice, when I had lice, I never had lice, by the way, I just want you to know that, never had lice, but I have a cure for lice, shave everyone's head and you don't have lice. I can assure you, if you hang around me, you won't catch lice from my hair. Maybe my nostril hairs, but not my hair. Just kidding. What do? They isolate you. That's what the enemy, the devil, tries to do, Antichrist. He tries to isolate God's message, but you can't isolate God's message. Communism tried to isolate God's message in the church. The fastest growing part of the church in the world is in China. They've tried to restrict it, but it just spreads because God cannot be restricted. The spirit of Antichrist, what is the Antichrist? It says that what it is, Antichrist, anti the anointing, anti-Jesus. And so it tries to isolate, and you know, the spirit of Antichrist isn't never a person. It's always a spirit that gets behind a situation or a person. So instead of getting mad at somebody for resisting you and what you believe, just say, it isn't the person. It's the spirit that's trying to get that person to operate in a certain way. So you got this, God wants his outbreak to happen. The world's groaning for an outbreak, but the spirit of Antichrist is trying to stop it. So I want to show you today what a kingdom outbreak would look like. Who would like to know what a kingdom outbreak would look like? This side are very excited. This side's quite quiet, and the people at the back just woke up. Just kidding. You see, the Bible says in Acts chapter 13, I'm just going to read the last part. So the Lord's message spread throughout that region. In fact, there was an outbreak of the message of Jesus. So what does a kingdom outbreak look like? Firstly, it's an outbreak of God's grace. I believe that God wants to release his grace into our communities like never before. What is grace? The Bible says it's unmerited favor. So in other words, it's not how good we are. It's not how much works we do. It's not how many times we attend church or don't attend church. It's not even what we do for people. God's grace is unmerited favor. So here's the truth. I live not because to get grace, I live from grace. So God wants to release grace, unmerited favor on this, and give people a revelation of how good he is and how much he wants to bless them. Who would like to see that happen in our cities? John 1:14 says, as the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, the word is Jesus, by the way, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory and the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So firstly, God wants an outbreak of grace, but he wants an outbreak of truth. You see, if I don't have the truth, the Bible says the truth will set me free. So my freedom is attached to the truth. And I was taught that I had to do things to get God's favor. If you do this, God will favor you. If you do that, God will favor you. And you know, God responds to obedience. That is true. But God doesn't favor me because I obey. I have favor, and out of favor, I obey. So I don't pray to get favor. I pray for out of a relationship. I already have favor. So I had this works mentality. I had to do this, this, and this, and this to make God happy with me. But when I understood the truth that he was happy with me, that means I could be free and I could enjoy him. And so I could enjoy his life and his power and his presence so I could get free. You see, Jesus wants truth to be released on this earth. And it's not through religion that frees you. Religion binds you. It's relationship that frees you. And so now I lead not out of insecurity trying to get his favor. I now have security because I have his favor. And when he says you can do this, I can do things and step out in faith, not worrying about what people think. We're not worrying about situations because I have truth. Everyone say an outbreak of truth. Outbreak of grace, outbreak of truth. See, religion has said that God is against everything. That's not true. Relationship says God is for me. Now he will say, keep away from that to protect me. He's not angry at me. I remember when I first started with our teenagers and I used to teach them back in the day, God's not angry at you. He doesn't have a big stick that loves whacking you over the head when you do wrong. Because a lie was taught that God was mad at you all the time. And we'd have sermons like sinners in the hands of an angry God. God is not an angry God. God is a good God, and it's this goodness that leads us to repentance. He's not never angry. He doesn't. There might be things that he doesn't like that we're doing, but he would say, change for that. And he's like, it gives you the picture of the father with the parable son. When the son came back, the father didn't point out all his wrong. He just says, welcome home, son. And out of that revelation of his son, seeing how good his father was, his son came in humility. See, if people understand truth about God, see what the devil has tried to say, well, church is boring and irrelevant. No, church just became boring and irrelevant because it didn't have the truth of the expression of God. So that's why we dance and celebrate and clap, because it's in the Bible. That's why we are joyful. Why? Because I believe the best party should be in the house of God. The best party should be in the house of God, better than any nightclub, better than any 21st party, better than any sporting event, better than any concert. It should be in the house of God, because where his presence is, there is liberty and freedom. It's like this. People come in sometimes and they'll see Kamta Humida, or whatever you say it. And people go, ooh, people are dancing. That's worldly. That's not truth. That's actually a lie. If I'm dancing about myself, then I'm selfish, self-focused. But if I'm dancing unto God, I'm not worldly, I'm expressing God. How are we going? Good. Let's keep going. An outbreak of truth. Everyone say an outbreak of truth. Because we're right. The truth is the Bible, by the way. That's where we set our parameters on. The truth is the Word of God. Amen. An outbreak of God's power. God wants his power to be released on this earth. He just doesn't want a church that can speak the language of the day. He wants a church that demonstrates the power of God. I believe that God's put a mandate on us as a church to be contemporary, speak the language of the day. Jesus did it when he spoke to tax collectors. He spoke about money. What was he doing? He was being relevant. He was speaking their language. When he spoke to fishermen, he spoke about fish. What was he doing? He was being relevant, speaking their language. But he had power to back up the relevance. And I believe the church needs to be both relevant and both powerful. That you want your marriage fixed up. You want to be healed. You want to be in a place of breakthrough and freedom. Get involved with people who are seeing an outbreak of his presence. I believe the answer to the city of Melbourne is a church that speaks the language of the day but demonstrates the power of heaven to bring breakthrough, to see poverty defeated, to see sickness defeated, to see a whole heap of things defeated, and to see God's name lifted high. If you believe that, church, come on, let's shout to God with the voice of truth. It's an outbreak of God's power. We need the power of God. Acts 1:8, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be what? Witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. In other words, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, there comes an outbreak of power to the earth, and we need the Holy Spirit. It is his church. It is him. What kind of outbreak do you think a kingdom outbreak looks like? It's an outbreak of kindness. This city needs kindness given to it. People need kindness. They don't need judgment. They need kindness. You can assess, but then you can bring kindness to it. The Bible says, Romans 2, don't you see how wonderful, kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that it's his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? Kindness, it is such a powerful thing to release. We need an outbreak of kindness because it's an antidote to selfishness. Mamie Adams, who you don't know, always went to the post office in her town because the postal employees were there were friendly. She went there to buy stamps just before Christmas one year, and the lines were particularly long, so someone pointed out there was no need for her to wait in line because there was a stamp machine in the lobby. She said, I know, but the machine won't ask me how my arthritis is doing.
You see, we cannot be machine dependent. We need to be people relationship and release kindness. A machine can never be kind to you. A machine can never show you love. A machine can never give you power. It can help you in your efficiency, and we're digital and everything's quick and all that. But there's something about a humanity that releases the heart of God that a machine or technology can never release. And that is the kindness of God. That is the love of God. And God wants you and I to release His kindness to this earth. It needs an outbreak of kindness.
I better hurry. Shall I give you some more? An outbreak of serving. Jesus came to serve. He came as the servant king, not the king servant. And the church are here. We're here as Christians to be a servant in our workplace, to be a servant. You say, no, I work for my paycheck. No, you come and you work for Jesus to serve where He's put you to serve. You serve your boss's vision. You serve the community. You serve your street. You serve every part of the society you come to. We're all called to be servants. We serve with our gifts. We serve with our talents. We serve with our time. We serve with our money. We serve with our encouragement. We're called to serve. If there was an outbreak of servanthood in our cities and our nation, thank God for the people who come and serve our communities when there's bushfires, and they come and they give their life to serve the community. How amazing is that? We have people who serve as police officers in our community. They're not just there getting a paycheck, they're serving. Politicians serve, nurses serve, sports people serve. Every person is called to serve with a gift. And we have a choice whether we serve out of self-righteousness, look what I'm doing, or serve with true service. See, self-righteous service comes through human effort. True service comes from a relationship with God. Self-righteous service is impressed with the big deal. True service finds it almost impossible to distinguish the small from the large. Self-righteous service requires external rewards. True service rests contented in hiddenness. Self-righteous service is highly concerned about results. True service is free of the need to calculate results. Self-righteous service picks and chooses whom to serve. True service is indiscriminate, and it is not discriminating in any way. It's just there to minister. Self-righteous service is affected by moods and whims, where true service ministers simply and faithfully because there is a need. Self-righteous service is temporary. True service is a lifestyle. Self-righteous service is without sensitivity. It insists on meeting the need even when to do so would be destructive, where true service can withhold the service as freely as to perform it. Self-righteous service fractures the community, where true service, on the other hand, builds community. Outbreak. I'm praying for an outbreak of servanthood to the city. I love it how we go and clean the streets around here, because we're serving the community. We have kids programs to serve the community. We have youth programs to serve the community. We're there to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We're there, whatever, empower. We're wanting to see 2,000 families fed every week to serve the community. Why are we doing special needs clubs? They're starting in our East services. Why? And setting up rooms, because we want to serve the community. That's what the church is there for, to see an outbreak of the kingdom. I better hurry. An outbreak of freedom, of God's freedom. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "For the Lord is spirit, and wherever the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." God wants you to be free. Free to praise, free to worship, free to dance, free to give, free to witness, free to love, free to encourage, free to shout. You ever remember the first time you came to church and never been in a church like this, and there's a desire in you to do what some of the people are doing, like lifting hands, which the Bible says to lift holy hands, and you're in church, and what will people think? But you go to a concert and people are like, yeah, and you're like, oh, okay, I can do that. But you come to church and what will people think? Why? Because the spirit of Antichrist is trying to stop you from being free. So there you are and you get in your position and you're like, what will people think? And everyone's like, oh. And you're like, well, I want to do that, but what will people think? You know, oh, all right, I know what I'll do. It's like, you know, when you go to the movie and you don't want anyone to notice or the girl you like and you're about to put your arm around, you're like, no, be free. Be free to dance. Be free to sing. Be free to shout. Be free to love. Be free to give. Be free to care. Be free, 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 free. Don't live in freedom. The devil wants you to live in fear. But Jesus says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. You are called to release freedom on the earth. You are called. Freedom has been paid for on the cross. The only thing that gets happen is the spirit of Antichrist tries to stop freedom. But God says, I want to release freedom, so be free. Just be you. Last one. Mr. Musician, you can come and make me sound anointed. It's an outbreak of God's love. In John 13, Jesus is at his Last Supper and he's got Judas there who's about to do the dirty on him. And Jesus says, well, whoever's about to do it, just go and do it. He didn't even expose him. He just said, go and do it. Love's on him. And then Jesus goes into this rendition because he's about to be arrested. And he tells them that he's about to be glorified and God will be glorified because of him. And since God received glory because of the Son, in other words, going to the cross was going to give God glory, that he'll give his own glory to his Son. In other words, God will give glory back to his Son. The Father will. And then he says, dear children, I'll be only with you a little while longer. As I told the Jewish leaders, you'll search for me, but you can't find, go where I'm going. And then he gives them this last command before the cross. He said, now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I've loved you, you should love each other. You think about Jesus' love. Jesus' love, he was always accepting, but he would correct wrong behavior. Sometimes we think love is not correction. In fact, the Bible says who God corrects, he loves. You know, one of the things we taught our children to say when we were correcting them was from another pastor, we'd get them to say, thank you for correcting me and making me a better person. And when we were correcting them, they were hating it. And I said, you should do that. And they got this little attitude. And I said, no. Remember, in this house, thank you for correcting me and making me a better person. And they'll do that grudgingly. Thank you for correcting me. No, it's come on, say it out of love. Thank you for correcting me and making me better. But what we were doing, we were correcting bad behavior because we loved them. But also, I'd be at the sport and I'd go, go, Amy. And I was saying that if there was a 12 games in a year, Amy would get fouled out 10 of them. 10 of the 12, she'd always get fouled off. It was amazing. She was incredible at it. But she was good. She was used to playing her brother, so she knew how to beat up on people. And but I'd be there, cheering, go, Amy. And you know, I'd get in my car and drive her to sport and drive Jonathan to sport and I'd get them musical equipment and get them. Why? I'd go out of my way because I'd love them up. But we would still correct each other, but we'd have a spirit of love to see change happen. Because love is change. But how do you show God's love? You love each other. See, nothing worse to the world to see division. The world wants to see a place that where people are committed to one another, that they'll be there in the good, bad, and the ugly. There'll be good times or bad times and ugly times, but you're there in every season because you love each other. Let there be an outbreak of love in our communities and let his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So, if you want to be used by God, here's the thing. Here's the thing. God's outbreak of his love, of his kingdom, is restricted to our involvement with him. You know, when God created you, He created you with a dream. He dreamed you into existence. He has a plan for you. The Bible says, Jeremiah 29, the plans God has for you are for good, a good hope and a good future. So what we've got to do is come into alignment with His plans and be in partnership with Him so that He can express Himself and release His kingdom through us on this earth to touch people's lives, because machines will never touch people. It's people who touch people that release the God in them.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Planet Shakers Church, Melbourne, Australia. For more details, check out planetshakers.com.